First of all, you demand maximum revs and bust my engines. And then, John, you stop engines out here in the middle of nowhere, thousands of miles from Sydney for boat drill. What are you playing at, man? Why can't we have the engines running while a passenger's player being shipwrecked? Eh? Will you tell me that?
Passage of the Tangmar. The story of a ship and its cargo of death.
Now, look, Chief. I know it's not common practice to carry out boat drill my way. I know all that. But I like drill that looks like the real thing. Now, why don't you go below to those engines built by Scots so that only Scots can understand them?
Sparks had brought me the message from Colonel Hacking in London. The message saying that Peter Slavin's murderer had been arrested and that Slavin's death was in no way connected with the Wherryman affair. I was standing on the bridge reading it again and again, trying to take it in. To realize that all along our theories had been wrong. Cregan, the chief engineer, had come stumping up to the bridge and demanded to know why we'd ordered stop engines. In spite of his rage, he looked oddly comical with grease from his beloved engine smeared across his face. Already the boats were being lowered, and looking down on the boat deck, I could see the auburn halo above Ilona Fedorov's life jacket. But all I could think of was Colonel Hacking's assumption that I could leave the Tangmar at Papeete. And then I remembered that he didn't know of the death of Miller or Blake.
For Pete's sake, Mr. Chilkins, you want to float upside down? No, you don't, eh? Well,
they're
put it on this way.
Get those boats cleared away, bosun.
Will you listen to me for a moment, Captain?
Oh, Chief, I thought you'd gone.
Aye, you mean you hoped I had. What's going on aboard this ship? That's what I want to know. One minute you can't wait to be rid of these passengers, and the next you're prolonging the agony for all of us.
Chief, listen.
And you, Mr. Kendall. Wasn't that last night that you were going to make an arrest? Settle this murder business once and for all? What happened to that idea? I'll tell you what happened. Someone else was killed. Oh, don't look like that. We all know about it.
A pity we didn't ever talk Peter in our hull. Let us speed you up a bit.
Hey, Limbeck, where do you think you're going?
Well, haven't you got anything to save yourself at all, Kendall? You know, it seems to me the only sane place on the ship is in the engine room, where you can find solid Scots workmanship. Aye. Very funny, John. Very funny. I'll take your advice. I'll go below. Every time I come on deck, I find trouble. The rest of this voyage, I think, will stay below.
All right, bosun, get those boats inboard. Make ready to secure.
All right, Scott. Now, make this snappy, Kippy. Now, you just to bring your
first. What were you saying, Chief? Where'd he go?
Below.
Kendall, are you accepting the Colonel's invitation, leaving us at Papeete?
What do you think, Skipper? Apart from anything else, I like Blake.
Me too.
I wonder if there is a connection, after all.
Connection?
Between Slavin's death and these others.
But you've got the proof that there isn't right there in your hand. Read it again. Even I can see that.
I know it looks that way, but supposing... Oh, all right, forget it.
No, go on, tell me.
Well, supposing Slavin's death and the attendant publicity gave our killer the idea.
But you said a few minutes ago that you were sure none of the passengers killed Blake.
I am sure. As sure as question and answer and alibi can make me, but there's one thing we've tended to overlook.
What's that?
That proviso in Wherryman's will saying that any passenger on the Tangmar, in other words, any beneficiary under his will, could sell his or her share of the million. We assumed that that would be too stupid, that no one would do that. But supposing someone did. Slavin.
What are you getting at?
And the person who bought Slavin's share heard of his death and decided to be the only beneficiary to arrive in Jamaica.
But he's not if he bought a share.
The will doesn't say he's not.
The police darn soon would if the rest of them were dead, wouldn't they? Even your crowd couldn't be that stupid.
Oh, I know it sounds fantastic, Skipper, but...
What's our boat secure, Skipper?
Oh, carry on, Bosun. Oh, Chief. Skipper, get them rolling. We're making for Papeete. Fast. I'll make you a promise now. You're going to thank heaven for the rest I gave those pampered engines of yours.
And get this off for me, will you, Sparks? To Colonel Hacking, Marlborough House, London. Cannot leave ship at Papeete. Investigating murder of passengers Ben Miller and Lee Blake. And Sparks, add, 11 days out from Sydney and double that many blind alleys. Kendall.
Sugar, Miss Fedorov.
No, thank you.
Why is it, I wonder, that aboard ship tea always tastes of salt?
Oh, is that all you can think of? When
last night, Lee Blake was killed. Murdered.
You're glad he stayed, aren't you?
Well, I can't exactly say I'm going to be chief mourner. Shook. Oh, no, you don't, do you? Personally, I like lots of it. I suppose, like the rest of us, you had a perfect alibi.
Mr. Kendall accepted it.
But weren't you a little put out when Blake began to enjoy my daughter's company in preference to your own?
What does that mean to imply?
Imply? Why, nothing. I'm merely making conversation. Why do you ask? Have you a guilty conscience, is that it?
Major Chair...
No, don't get up. The dinner gong will go soon and we can go in together. I should like that.
Why?
Well, being a gentleman, I shall allow you to walk ahead of me. Doing that will make me feel safer. The next time you decide to embarrass me in public, to try and make me look small in front of the other passengers, I trust you will curb your tongue, Miss Fedorov. You should take sugar, you know. Sweetens the disposition. Sit down. Oh, that's better. There's no need to be afraid of me. I can assure you that I am not a murderer. If I were, you would have died some little time ago. You know, you fascinate me, Miss Fedorov. I've never met a completely self-possessed young woman before.
Really?
Now, of course, it's the doctor, isn't it? Dr. Lawler.
Is that any business of yours?
If he should die, yes.
How dare you?
You see the difference between us, my dear. I wait until you are alone to tell you exactly what I think of you. People with any kind of background do.
No.
Oh, you going? Oh, what a pity. I have enjoyed our little chat.
Major Challoner, there's something horrible about you. You want to hurt everyone and everything. I meant what I said the other night when I spoke about the way you treated your daughter. I meant every word of it. And I can understand why you are interested in a person whom you describe as self-possessed. You cannot bear a woman to be like that. I do not wish you to come with me, Major. I cannot help being sorry for you, Major Challoner.
You go and enjoy your dinner, Miss Fedorov. It may be the last one you'll have. Oh, Kendall, come on in.
Aren't you going into dinner, Major?
Presently, dear boy, presently. Oh, you look worried. Did you want to talk to me?
I didn't think there'd be anyone in here.
Then I'll go.
You think this is all rather amusing, don't you?
There is a certain irony, which I think you'll admit. Boat drill the night after a murder. It was very efficient, wasn't it?
They were both efficient.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Is that what you meant by irony?
Not really, no. I was thinking more particularly of poor Blake.
Why?
Sitting in your cabin, in your chair, I think you said, with his back to the door, unsuspecting. After all, who apart from me would want to kill him? Then the unfortunate chappy dies in place of you. I don't wonder you have no appetite tonight.
Now look here, Major.
I suppose you feel that it would be unfair to gorge yourself when, what's his name, Blake, can't do so anymore. Oh, what a pity.
Just what is this leading up to?
Not a thing. I'm merely chatting for chatting's sake.
Major, a friend of mine was killed last night. I don't find it funny in any way.
No, I suppose not. Well, How are we getting along? And why you have a friend like that, I can't imagine. Spare everyone to their own taste, I suppose. I suppose someone's got to befriend them. I must admit, I can't see why.
Why, you old... If you could only have told me, Lee.
Who is it? Come in.
Well, who is it?
What the devil?
We'll get alarmed, Kendall.
You won't get away with it, China. Give me that gun.
Certainly. Here. Catch. It's all right. The safety catch is on.
What kind of a game are you playing?
I am not playing, I assure you. But don't you think you're a little unwise, Kendall, sitting in here alone? You could die in the lounge as easily as anywhere else, couldn't you?
If this is some kind of joke...
Joke? What an odd term to use. Haven't you realized yet that you're a marked man? That Lee Blake was killed by someone who wanted to kill you? That is all I'm trying to bring home to you, Kendall. On the Tengmar, your life isn't worth a row of beans. Why don't you leave the ship at Papeete?
I had realized that my life was in danger, but I couldn't understand the acidic major pointing out the fact. He stood there, framed in the door of the ship's lounge, his hand outstretched for his gun. And it was hard to realize that he was trying to assist me on this passage of the Tangmar.